south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
You know, I'm still traveling here and there and on a portable rig right now, and if my microphone really sucks, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. I'd like to know how it sounds out there. Let's start today off by talking about what seems to be a favorite subject. You know what that is, mating, dating, love, romance, as it frequently happens down here with gringos and Latinas and gringas and Latinos. Oh, and there's another strange or odd thing about cross-cultural hookups that you'll only really pick up if you speak some Spanish. I don't know if you knew this, but Latinos refer to us gringos and expats, us Caucasian gringos and expats, as white people, blancos.
The word again, blanco or blanca.
Even if a Latino or Latina is whiter than we are, they'll refer to us as blancos, white people. It's kind of strange, along with the fact that a really dark Latina or Latino will be referred to as a moreno or morena, with a really dark one, a moreno or morena oscuro. Oscuro means dark. And a Latina or Latino that's a little bit dark, sort of like an American with a deep tan, will be called a moreno or morena clara, or claro, for the masculine, which literally translates, oddly enough, into clear-skinned, dark person. So if someone's a moreno or a dark-skinned Latina, there's two types. Oscuro, dark, or claro, light. But there's really no way there's just a light and a dark. There's the whole spectrum in between. So it's relative, up to interpretation, in the eye of the beholder. Now, of course, there are some Latinos and Latinas that are very dark. If they were living in Canada or the States, they'd be called black people. But here's the rub. Here in Latin America, they're not called black people. That's kind of an insult, even. Dark, even very dark Latinos don't like being called black. I've witnessed it up front and personal, where a gringa or gringa will refer to a very dark-skinned Latino or Latina as black. I've seen that Latino or Latina correct that person and say, "No, soy moreno or morena. No, soy negro." That means I'm dark-skinned but not black. So then what's that come from? What's that all about? Well, that's because, as you heard me say many times on this show over the years, Latinos and Latinos prefer their kids to be lighter-skinned. And as crass and un-PC as it sounds, I've got friends, Latino friends, who've told me that one of the main reasons they dated and married a light-skinned Latina was so that their kids would be lighter-skinned and thus have a leg up in life. And if you're wondering if that's really true, you can see it for yourself. All you have to do is take a walk through one of the high-end malls in a nice neighborhood, wealthy neighborhood, anywhere in Latin America, and you'll see wealthier Latinos and Latinas are, as a rule, taller and lighter-skinned than the people who shop in the low-end malls. Isn't that funny? Now, how'd that happen, and why is it so true throughout all the 20 Latin American countries? Something else you'll notice is that the shoppers in high-end malls are taller and lighter-skinned than the people who work there and wait on them. You know, the parking attendants, the cashiers, the waiters. So it is definitely true being born with lighter skin in Latin America makes a person a kind of a star in the family. I've seen that at family get-togethers. Parents will always admit a lighter kid gets a leg up in the world. I've heard Latina ladies, especially older ladies, grandmas and such, brag and dote on the fair-haired kid in the family. By fair-haired, I mean the kid with the lighter skin or the green or hazel-colored eyes. Yep, once in a while, once in a blue moon, a kid will pop out with green eyes. Almost never blue eyes, but green eyes once in a while. And man, I'm telling you, that will be the fair-haired kid. That little girl or boy will get preferential treatment the rest of his or her life. I know, there's nothing fair about that, but isn't it sort of the same in the U.S. if a kid's born with bleach blonde hair or with icy blue or sky blue eyes? When the rest of the kids in the family have brown hair or brown eyes, that blonde-haired, blue-eyed kid often ends up being the favorite. Well, down here, that kind of effect is on steroids. When a kid's born with noticeably light skin or green eyes, that kid really gets placed on a pedestal. I repeat, nothing fair about that. But do understand there's a subliminal push and desire here in Latin America for parents to have lighter, taller kids. And Latinos and Latinas won't deny it. Oh, and here's another strange thing you'll find out if you're speaking of Spanish. And you get to know some of the locals pretty well. Just like there might be a really light-skinned kid in the family, there might very well be a very dark-skinned kid in the family, moreno oscuro, or morena oscura if it's a girl. Now, here's the funny part. You heard me mention that dark-skinned Latinas and Latinos don't like to be called black. In fact, sometimes they'll correct you if you use the term negro. However, oddly enough, within a family where there's a member who's very dark-skinned, as compared to the rest of the siblings, for example, within the family, they'll use the term negro or black for that person as a term of endearment. For example, one of the brothers or sisters or mom and dad in the family might say, "Come on over here, negrito or negrita. Come on over here, blackie." That would be the direct English translation. And there's absolutely no negative connotation to it at all. That person becomes known within the family as blackie. But man, it's a delicate thing if you're not a family member or a neighbor or a friend and you try to use that term. It's similar to the way Latinos use the word fatso or fatty as a term of endearment within the family. It's such a common thing. All his friends and family members will call him fatty or fatso. In Spanish, gordo. Or sometimes little fatty, gordito or gordita if it's a girl. Oh, and in Latin America, it's pretty common for a fat kid to get the nickname early on, fatty or gordo, and that'll stick with him the rest of his life. So it's not just the family that'll call him that. It'll be the people at school, at work, etc. And it won't be taken as any kind of insult at all. It's just so common. As opposed to a fat guy, you'll almost never see a fat girl being called gorda in public. Though people might say that behind her back, they'll never say it to her face. That would be an insult. Too cruel. Oh, and here's another craziest thing I don't think we've ever spoken about before. When two Latinos are in a romantic relationship, oftentimes the guy will directly refer to his girlfriend as gordita or gorda, fatty. Sometimes even if she's skinny as a rail. When I first heard and saw that, I thought, what the hell? I didn't get it. Turns out here in Latin America, the word fatty is also sometimes used as a loving term of endearment when people are courting. Now, can you imagine if you were in a romantic relationship up in the States or Canada or Europe? Now, I'm talking to you guys out there. And you referred to your girlfriend, to her face, as fatty. Man, would you be treading on thin ice. You just might get a cuff across the jaw. Well, down here in Latin America, if you're in a romantic relationship, you get away with it all day long. And she doesn't have to tip the scales like Lizzo, either. Funny thing, too, I've seen this happen 100 times, where the guy will call his girlfriend gorda, or gordita, meaning little chubby. But the girl never calls the guy gordo, even if he's a tub of lard or has a beer belly. It's sort of strange. He's the fat one in the relationship, and he's calling her fatty. Oh, well, customs and cultures, they are what they are. You got to roll with it. Funny thing, though, I've had Latina girlfriends over the years, but I've never crossed that line. I've never called any one of them gordita, even though it's completely acceptable down here. I just can't bring myself to it. First world fear, I guess, of getting cuffed across the mouth. By the way, over the years, I've been down here 31 plus years now, I've had two girlfriends who were on the dark side, skin color-wise. Morena oscura. And it did take me a little while to get used to the fact when I'd be around her house and her family. Her brothers and uncles and even her mother would call her negrita sometimes, blackie. Sure, it was purely a term of endearment. But for a first world guy like me growing up in Chicago, it took a while to get used to. Though, the thing is, you have to remember, on the Caribbean side of Latin America, Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, the Panama, Nicaragua, and Honduran coast of the Caribbean, all the way down south through the Atlantic coast of Brazil, there are just thousands, if not millions, of Latinos and Latinas who are darker than the average black guy in Chicago. But, as mentioned, only their family members and friends can call them black. If you and I call them black, because they really are black according to what we're used to, we'll get corrected because they call themselves moreno oscuro. And they'll generally give you a funny look, too, like, what are you talking about? I'm not black. In fact, many times I've heard Latinos from Central and South America tell me the only truly black people in Latin America are from Belize and Haiti. And man, if you've ever been to Haiti or ever met a Haitian, they really are jet black. Enough said about that. Now, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah. mating, dating, love, and romance in Latin America, etc. Which brings us to this email from Winston. He says, hey, Johnny, I hear you talk a lot about expats dating and getting together with Latin women and men. He says, what's been your experience with getting on the same page with Latinas, both intellectually, politically, ideologically, religiously, etc.? Or is it just a huge compromise or impossible? He asks, is it not important to have similar interests, or is there some other common bond besides the horizontal bond? I find it difficult, he says, to get on the same page in the States with people, dates, etc. I can only imagine it being very difficult down there in Latin America, considering the common hard-left, socialist-leaning people I've talked to thus far. Just curious. Signed, Winston S. All right, Winston, thanks for that, but I don't quite get what you're saying about the hard-left people you're talking to. Is that in Latin America or up in the States? The only hard lefties I ever seem to meet down here in Latin America are idiot gringos and expats in their Che Guevara t-shirts who voted for the fools who've ruined the United States, and now they're coming down here with their bad ideas. Now, if you're talking about the average idiot Latin American voter, they love voting left and for socialists because they promise freebies. But isn't that exactly what's happening up in the States, too? People voting for the guy that gives the most freebies? And of course, throughout Latin America, all the public universities are socialist and leftist. Though when they get out, they have to get jobs too, and that's when reality smacks them in the face. That's when suddenly capitalism looks pretty good to them. Anyway, Winston poses the mating and dating question of the ages. He asks, do us gringo guys and gals, when we date Latinos and Latinas, have anything in common with them at all except the horizontal position? Is it even possible to get on the same page intellectually, politically, ideologically, religiously, etc., etc.? Well, I'll tell you, if you're asking me about my personal experiences, I've dated Latinas who were intellectually vacant and some who were sharper than me. And you know what I've noticed? The really smart ones tend to be conservative, eager to listen and learn from you, and very conscientious. And, of course, religious. I don't think I ever went out with a single Latina who wasn't extremely religious. Seems they all are. So is that a plus or a minus? Well, I can tell you this. I had never had a Latina girlfriend who pushed the religion thing too hard. They never try to convert you. Sure, they'll try to get you to go to church on holidays and Christmas and stuff, but they do take no for an answer and don't try to challenge you. Though I think every last one of them has this thought in their mind that someday you'll come around. That's why I advise you, if you're an atheist or agnostic, tread lightly on the subject of religion when it comes up, and it will. Because you see, if you come right out and tell any Latino or Latina that you're agnostic or an atheist, which, by the way, is ateo in Spanish, man, you'll get some looks and people will wonder. I mean, if you're purely looking for shock value, go ahead and say it. But being that it's such a Christian culture, it's no way to make friends. In fact, there's a real easy and comfortable workaround if you are an agnostic or an atheist. One that'll satisfy everyone, including you, and won't raise any eyebrows when the subject comes up. Or cause your significant other to say an extra few prayers for you every night. And it was, again, good old expat Eddie who turned me on to this idea. He said, Johnny, if some Latin American asks you if you're religious, if you're an agnostic or a dyed-in-the-wool atheist, you know that won't go down very well in the conversation that's about to come. Well, to keep things nice, you just tell them the religion you were brought up in. I mean, hell, we were all brought up with some kind of religion. Whether your parents were soft or hardcore about it, whether you went to church once a day or once a year, we can all look back and remember our parents bringing us up with some kind of religion. Catholic, Methodist, Episcopalian, Jewish, Scientology. Well, maybe it's better to say Jehovah Witness than Scientology. Anyway, sooner or later, your significant other and or his or her family members will ask you about your religion. So by all means, tell them. However, if you are an agnostic or an atheist, tell them which religion you were brought up in. End of subject. Case closed. Like, for example, someone asks me what religion I am. I say, I was brought up Catholic. That's the truth. No lies. End of story. End of conversation. You don't have to tell them at all how you feel about it now. Let them jump to the usual conclusion that you're always and forever a Catholic. Then, of course, later on, as you get well into your relationship, that is, if you're an atheist or agnostic, you can break it to your significant other. And if things are going well between you two, it won't matter much at all. Though she will, without you knowing it, say a lot of extra prayers for you. But your significant other will tell you in no uncertain terms. Please. Don't mention it at parties or in mixed company or when we're at my parents' house. Though people have asked me, If early on in a relationship you mention that you're an agnostic or, God forbid, an atheist, is that a deal breaker for your new girlfriend? I'd say generally not, but there is one built-in deal breaker. If you're in a permanent relationship, Latinas will always want to have kids, or the kid discussion will come up. The deal breaker for her is if you tell her the kids can choose their own religion when they grow up, or not. She most probably will not go for that, and it will be a deal breaker. She'll want to bring them up in her religion. I've seen this situation play out with some of my friends, and it's best to just cave, or big problems will follow. Anyway, it's just an early conversation, just talk. Kids in reality are a long way off. But back to Winston's initial comment about having nothing in common with a girl, or nothing to really talk about. Well, first of all, you're not going to get too far beyond the horizontal position if you don't speak some Spanish. Unless your new significant other speaks English. Which, I found for me, has never worked out all that well. You know the story. Usually when a Latina speaks pretty good English, her parents have a bit of money, she's been to the States, she's got a U.S. visa. That pretty much makes her high maintenance, Latin style anyway. That means she's generally addicted to all things first world and is connected heavily to that smartphone and all those idiotic first world TikTok trends, etc. Now, the fact is the vast majority of gringos who come down here to Latin America looking for a Latina mating dating hookup, they're looking for something long-term and serious. These are guys who've been divorced, sometimes more than once. They're not into playing games, the bar and disco thing, they've been through that. Or maybe not. In any event, their previous love life didn't work out too well. And honestly, most of them are just looking for a beautiful young Latina, which in most cases is easily accomplished, but in the end, that's not enough. You've got to have things to talk about. You've got to have things in common. And if you don't learn Spanish, you'll do all your communicating through Google Translate, and man, that will get old and tiresome in a hurry. So rule number one, if you want to have a successful relationship, you must learn some Spanish. More than just kitchen Spanish, too, because if you want to talk about things intellectual, or even just light philosophy or current events, kitchen Spanish ain't enough. So if you're one of those gringos who just pretty much exclusively hangs with gringos, and you say to yourself, I'm too old to learn Spanish, your success in the dating game is going to be limited. For sure, you'll have dozens, even hundreds of girls to choose from. Just jump on one of those Cupid dating sites. You'll be swiping back and forth on that app until you got blisters on your fingers. You'll be just overwhelmed with responses, though with a good 75% of them being scammers or gold diggers. By the way, down here in Latin America, they're called chapeadores. Gold diggers are chapeadores. That word chapeada translates to gold-plated jewelry in English. In other words, the fake, cheap stuff. However, there is a way on those Cupid dating sites to qualify or self-select the prospective date who you have a lot in common with, a lot to talk about. You just have to ask them the right questions the first couple of times you're in there chatting, and the answers will reveal all. For example, one of my nerdy friends who lives in Salvador now, he's a pure nerd, no style at all, needs a makeover badly. Funny how guys who've got no style never know it. He found the perfect girl who helped him out with all that on a Cupid site. A 30-year-old nurse, very smart, goes to the gym regularly, into supplements and health food, etc. So then how did my 40-ish nerd buddy find the Latina woman of his dreams? Well, early on he asked the right questions on the chat site. He said he had to disqualify at least 15 gold diggers along the way. By the way, his questions were, what are your hobbies? Where do you get your news from? What are the basic foods you eat a lot of? Not what are your favorite foods, but the foods you eat a lot of. And here's a biggie, how many books did you read last year and what were their names? Which he said disqualified about 90% of all the takers because most people haven't read a book in years. Are you getting this? Most American, Canadian, and European guys who come down to Latin America looking for love, at least the over 40 crowd, the ones that aren't playing around, going to discos and all that, the ones that are looking for a rock steady relationship. First off, they're almost always astounded by the young, beautiful Latinas that are interested in them. Because, you see, that would almost never happen up in the States. And that's where lots and lots of mistakes are made early on in the love and romance department. So many gringo expats I know are overwhelmed in the first couple weeks or months they're down here. They hook up with the first beautiful Latina that shows any interest in them. Someone who they have absolutely nothing in common mentally. And you know, it's an easy thing to say. Don't dive headfirst into the love and romance waters as soon as you get down here. But hey, most of us do, especially if we're bouncing off some bad relationships we're escaping from up in the States. The first thing you'll realize, though, whether she's the one or not, that there's a big difference in the touchy-feely warmth and tenderness of Latinos and Latinas. The word down here in Spanish is cariñoso. Loosely translated to, you've got that love and feeling, and it shows. Gringos and expats will tell you there's just more eye contact, more smiles, more cuddling, more affection. And many gringos and expats who've been in cold, distant relationships are absolutely floored by it. It's like touchy-feely affection on steroids. But that's only half of it, as Winston poses in his email. You could have a loving, beautiful, devoted person at your side 24/7. But eventually, that will get old if you've got nothing else in common. Or nothing to talk about except for the weather or what's trending on TikTok. I say, first, think about all the things that went wrong in your relationships up in the States. There were warning signs, right? And you know, one of the things I hear all the time from gringos and expats who have successful relationships here in Latin America, I keep hearing the same thing over and over. I know this will piss some people off, but I'm just relating the facts here. I've been hearing pretty much the same story for 30 years. American guys especially will tell me when they got married up in the States, things were just fine until they had kids. When they had the first kid, suddenly the guy was number two, kid was number one. Had the second kid, suddenly the guy was number three, because kid number one and number two elbowed him out of spot number one, never to return to that place again. In other words, I'm hearing from gringos who've come down here from the first world that up in the States, you're number one in the family until you have that first kid. And it's downhill from there. Then, eventually, there are more rifts. It all falls apart. There's a divorce. And sometimes, a very small percentage of the lucky ones get a bug up their ass, get the hell out of Dodge, and come on down to Latin America. And the first thing they notice when they get into a long-term relationship with a Latina? She wants to have a kid. Even if she's got a kid from a previous relationship, she wants to have one with you. And you're thinking, no way, because I've been through that before. And when that happens, the pecking order will change. I know the score. I'll get elbowed out of that number one position by the first kid. Uh-uh. That's the beginning of the end. No way do I want history repeating itself. Now, that's where you're wrong. Down here in Latin America, it's completely different. Surprise, surprise, you're always number one. Even if you have a kid or two or three, you remain number one, her first priority. And she's always trying to make your life easier for you. Most Latinas, even the gold diggers, have those old-time traditional family values that came from their mothers. That's why it seems to me so many gringos who end up with gold diggers here in Latin America, they have a hard time leaving them, a hard time breaking it off. They stay way too long because they're comforted by those old-time family values in so many other ways. And when accompanied by a pretty face, man, a lot of us gringos and expats are suckers for that. That's why so many of us get scammed on those Cupid sites. Including one of my brothers. Man, did he get scammed? I'll tell you that story sometime. But you know what? It works in the reverse direction, too. I got a story for you, man. Wow. I happen to know this very beautiful 30-something Latina who had a longtime boyfriend, about 8 years running. He cheated on her. What else is new, right? Well, she was so disappointed and deflated by that, she didn't go on a single date for 3 years. Oh, and she's got a university degree in business, has no kids, has a nice job. So she decided after 3 years of having zero dates, she wanted to get back into the game. Though she wanted nothing to do with Latino men, only gringos, Europeans, and Canadians. So she went to a Latin Cupid site, filled out her profile. And you do know, if you've ever been on one of those sites, that you can select the country or countries where your prospective dates are living. In other words, if you're on the site and you're a girl from Panama, and you don't want to connect with guys living in Latin America, you could click just the boxes for the US, Canada, Europe, and Australia. Then your profile on that site would only show up for people living in the States, Europe, Canada, and Australia. You will have eliminated all the guys on the site who are living in Latin America. So anyway, this Latina I know did not want to date any more Latinos, only guys from Canada and the United States. And she told me within the first day she had hundreds of hits. She read some profiles and responded to a few of them. One guy, who was a United Airlines pilot, caught her interest. She was communicating back and forth with this guy for about a week. Lots of texts. They traded a lot of pictures back and forth. He had lots of shots of him in the cockpit, in uniform, at different places, different hotels and cities. And then, about the fifth day, he said he wanted to send her a gift. Actually, a piece of luggage with a bunch of little gifts in it. Perfume, purses, little luxury items, clothes, etc. And he sent her various photos of the suitcase and the items he was going to send her. But that threw up a red flag. She said, I've only known you for a week and we've never met in person and you want to send me all this expensive stuff? I don't get it. Doesn't seem right. He said, oh, don't worry. I didn't buy any of that stuff. That's from the lost and found at United Airlines. If things haven't been picked up for 6 months. Pilots and employees get first pick and they auction the rest of the stuff off. Then she thought, oh, well, that's cool. That's interesting. I often wondered about the stuff that got lost at airports and in transit. He said, you wouldn't believe the lost and found. We've got hundreds and hundreds of suitcases and perfumes and computers and iPads and chargers. He said, if they don't auction it off or give it away, the stuff just sits there and rots. He said, just tell me your address. I'll have it shipped to your house in Panama. Then he dropped the bomb. He said, all you have to do is send me $230 by Western Union. That's the shipping charge. Don't worry, though. There's thousands of dollars worth of stuff in there. And when I visit you next month, I'll reimburse you. Well, she didn't answer back right away. Instead, she phoned up a friend of hers whose sister is a stewardess. Did I say stewardess? I know, it's flight attendant, right? Well, I'm old school, so shoot me. Anyway, her sister's a flight attendant for Copa Airlines, whose hub is in Panama. Called her up and asked her about the lost and found situation, how the airlines handle unclaimed stuff. Guess what? It was all bullshit. Turns out this guy, who was not a United Airlines pilot at all, was in fact running a scam. After a bit of investigation, she figured out this guy was going on Cupid sites looking for college-educated ladies who had nice jobs and could afford to send a couple of $100 by Western Union to a first-world airline pilot to get a nice suitcase full of goods that didn't exist. Well, she didn't do it, but she said she almost did. Oh, and get this, she was corresponding with another American guy. Got family photos, the house, the dog, the swimming pool in the backyard, the whole works. They were connecting really well, and after about 3 or 4 days, the guy announced he was ready to come down and visit her in Panama. But he had a little confession to make. She thought, uh-oh, he's lying about his age. He's probably 70, not 40. But as it turned out, it was much worse than that. Turns out the guy was a girl, a lesbian. At that point, my Latina friend threw in a towel and gave up on Cupid completely. She said, no more Cupid. I'm going to look for love and romance the old-fashioned way. At a restaurant, a bank, a church, or a mall. It might be a long time coming, but I want to have my first contact face to face.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.